the OTB Podcast Network.
So, we've been rating the Irish seasons and we've been talking about what players need a big off-season to improve on either a bad last 10, 12 months that they've had or a bad club situation or something's going on. I made the suggestion yesterday that if Everton aren't actually going to pay Seamus Coleman the way they claim they should, and if they're not going to back up with actual money the things, the nice things they say about him, then he should consider a move. This did not go down well.
No, it didn't. I was trying to talk some sense into you yesterday, Ger, but it turns out I didn't do a good enough job. And the Everton fans on Twitter have been letting you know, I think. I don't think your mentions have been on fire, because I think at Off the Ball on Twitter is an account with class, and they wouldn't want to do that to you. So I think it avoided mentioning you. So you got off scot-free on a personal level, but if you dive deep into the recesses of the internet, you'll find a lot of hate for your take.
A lot of people are saying, oh, he's injury prone, he's 32, he'll never play, he'll be on the bench. My point exactly was that he'll play 18 to 20 games next season for a team like Manchester United. And actually, do you know what? Having spoken this morning with Vinnie Perth, who was like, stick Aaron Wan-Bissaka in centre-back, play Seamus Coleman in a bunch of games as that very far forward player who can unlock defences. If you get 25 or 30 games where Seamus Coleman plays meaningful minutes, that's a massive win for everybody.
I was going to say, when Vinnie Perth was saying that earlier on, that there is one particular Irishman who would be perfect for that sort of system if you wanted to adjust to somebody who's a good fullback.
But you didn't, you bottled it. Like Leicester are doing, you bottled it.
It's your opinion. I'm not going to take your ball and run with it. This is all yours. You've got that hot potato on your hands.
Right. Well, let's move on from Seamus Coleman, because we did enough damage to that yesterday. But go back and watch the whole thing.
Yeah, go for it. Go back and watch the whole thing. Go and watch Ger saying that Seamus Coleman would have a better life outside of Goodison Park, even though he's well on route to becoming a top legend and everything, and actually quite good, and he's playing every single game, and it's clearly the best place for him. But you can make your own mind up on it. We also did Brighton yesterday. Much less fanfare from the Brighton fans about this. We were talking about Aaron Connolly, we were talking about Shane Duffy, we were talking about Jason Malumbi. I think we kind of came to the conclusion that maybe all three might be on loan next season. That certainly for Connolly and Malumbi, getting some good game time next season is probably necessary for them. We might move on to Southampton next. They were playing last night, obviously. We had Michael Obafemi coming off the bench. Shane Long, obviously, the other player of interest here. Will Smallbone, obviously, at Southampton, did his ACL in January, so his season's been a bit of a disaster after that. But Shane Long and Michael Obafemi, both in an interesting position. Obviously, Shane Long is facing into the playoffs at the moment. His season is far from done. He scored a couple of goals since going to Bournemouth, but hasn't exactly been shooting the lights out there. It's probably his level at this point, isn't it? It's hard to see a route back to the Premier League for Shane Long in a starting sense. Maybe if Hasenhüttl has a conversation with him and it's made clear that he will be an impact sub at certain points in the season, then he'll be happy to do that. He's obviously at the age now where it's hard to see an uptick once again from Shane Long. The thing is, if he's sitting on the bench and coming off the bench, he might be in competition with Michael Obafemi. As I say, he came off the bench last night, got 24 minutes against Liverpool the other day. He's had his injury troubles, obviously, this season as well. When it comes to his current deal, he's only got 1 year left on this. So I do wonder if actually, does he sign a new deal? Does he go out on loan to actually try and get a few more minutes, because he's the type of fella who, when we were talking about Aaron Connolly yesterday, you could see him getting a dozen or more goals in the Championship. Obafemi's probably in that realm. But the thing is, since he's come back, he's getting these minutes off the bench. There probably is a world in which he does get more significant game time for Southampton next season. So I think when it comes to Shane Long, it's probably not an immediate future at the club when it comes to next season, but with Michael Obafemi, there probably is.
It's hard to know, isn't it? So Danny Ings was playing last night and the team played well and he's getting some minutes. But if they sign depth, do you know?
Well, that's it. And obviously they've got Shea Adams, who's had a good season again, and he finished last season very strongly. Obafemi was due to go on loan to Swansea in January, is the thing. So we know the train of thought that Southampton had. The only reason why I'm saying that it might be different is that he's only got a year left in his deal. Maybe you go out on loan. Maybe if Swansea don't get promoted, that happens again now that he's fully fit. and he goes there and maybe he has a brilliant season and Southampton give him a new deal. I think, given the fact he's 20 years of age, Southampton probably don't want to risk him exploding and not having him signed up to the club. So I wouldn't be overly worried about that. Like, I think game time is really important for him at the moment. But is it going to be better than getting significant minutes off the bench? As you say, maybe Southampton go out and sign an additional attacker and then Obafemi is one rung down on the ladder. So that's the lay of the land at the moment in Southampton. Next up, just to kind of roll through some of the other clubs at the moment, Burnley is an interesting one because of Robbie Brady. Like, the Robbie Brady situation at this particular moment is completely up in the air because he's out of contract this summer, 23 league starts only with Burnley over the last three seasons. Obviously, after doing his ACL in 2018, he struggled to get that form back. It really has put the halt on his career progress. And I wonder, with Robbie Brady, given the style of player he is, I know Nathan said in the past that maybe a drop down to the division would be good for him, but I wonder, would a trip abroad actually be good for Robbie Brady? I mean, we're seeing Josh Cullen playing pretty well in Belgium at the moment. I wonder, would Robbie Brady be the perfect case study of somebody who could go to mainland Europe and actually carve a pretty good finish to his career for himself?
Yeah. Like, any particular league, anything, like, what were you thinking?
Well, like, when we look at what's actually happened with Cullen in Belgium over the last little while, I mean, is that the sort of football we're familiar with Robbie Brady playing? Is this a situation where he could go in there and maybe it's a little bit less of a physical graft throughout the season, and the ball-playing skills that he has, the gifted nature of Robbie Brady, I think it might thrive a little bit more there, or in the Dutch league.
And I mean, no, go to Real Mallorca or go to, like, Seville or, I don't know, anywhere along that Mediterranean coast. Like, have that kind of lifestyle move, no? Go to Monaco.
Like, I mean, if he got a deal to Monaco, I guess that's an unreal thing to get, or to the south of Spain, as you say. But, I mean, it's like, what are you looking for from your time abroad? Is it like a bit of a trampoline to get back onto the national team and to be starting these games once again, or is it to actually kind of wind down? Because,
well, he's only 29.
He is only 29, as I say, though, that injury a few years ago kind of scuppered things a good bit. Like, I definitely think that there is a route back to, from Robbie Brady's perspective, if he does drop down to the Championship, either sign permanently now next season for a team that might be pushing for the playoffs. Like, I definitely think that that's a level for Robbie Brady where he can actually get a team back up to the Premier League. By no means am I saying that he's finished, but I just think the style of footballer that he is, I just wonder, would he actually thrive abroad and in a league that's less maybe pragmatic than the Championship is? But then again, the Championship, you see some amazing football. It's just the fact that you play, 42 games in a season. It's a long old slog. And I wonder, could Robbie Brady do with something a little more easygoing on the body than that? That's kind of what I'm thinking there. Will we go through a few others?
Yeah.
Jeff Hendrick at Newcastle is obviously a situation we've been keeping an eye on for the season so far. Like, I mean, we're not going to go through every Premier League player here, but the other man at Newcastle is Kieran Clarke. He signed a new two-year deal in January, so he's going nowhere. Jeff Hendrick, though, signed a four-year deal last summer, so you might think he's going nowhere. Newcastle probably unlikely to get a fee that would match that to get rid of that contract at the moment. He struggled to get back into the team after he got sent off in February against Southampton, and he's not been getting much game time recently. You look at that Newcastle midfield, you look at the fact that they got Willockin from Arsenal, they've got Shelby, they've got Longstaff, who tend to make up that midfield. As it stands, Newcastle are playing Premier League football next season, obviously, but as it stands, Jeff Hendrick is not getting back into that midfield. And what's going to happen with Joe Willock? Newcastle are either going to try and get him again, or they'll sign another player in that midfield. I think they probably made that decision a few months ago. So, Jeff Hendrick, do we see another uptick from him next season to be able to get back into that starting team? This season started pretty well for him, and things have unravelled a little bit for him. So, I wonder, is he going to be another man in the move?
I don't think so, is it? It's one of those. His contract is until 2024, so.
But on loan is kind of what I'm thinking here. Are these the sort of players that are happy to get minutes off the bench? Like, in his current state, maybe Jeff Hendrick is happy with that. But if he moves another spot down after another piece of business, maybe in the transfer window from Newcastle. Maybe that changes. Maybe he does look to drop down a little bit, do a Conor Hourihan and things, and actually look to get some game time. Like Conor Hourihan, obviously, he's probably sitting pretty at the end of the season thinking that was a really great decision to drop down to the Championship. And who knows, he could be playing Premier League. He could end up getting a team promoted to the Premier League at the end of the season. But like maybe we're just tarring all these people with the one brush because they're all Irish. But I wonder, could Hendrick learn a thing or two from what Hourihan did when it became apparent that Hourihan was not getting into that Villa starting midfield? But he now has a good chance of maybe being worth something to Dean Smith next season.
Yeah. By playing himself back into form.
Yeah, like I think that's probably what Jeff Hendrick could really do at Newcastle. It is a shame. I do think that red card in February kind of scuppered things for him a little bit, a good bit actually. And he's just really struggled to get back into the team after that. And we just think back to last September once the season started, things looked so optimistic for him. Things looked so optimistic for James McCarthy, and the season from an Irish standpoint has just been a complete nosedive ever since then.
A wasteland at that level, certainly for those players, those most experienced of our players, the ones the 50 caps and more, who you think it's going to be important for them to kick on and actually establish what the culture is of the new team under Stephen Kenny, and they haven't really been available to do that. So
that was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.